Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
In an NBA season unlike any other, only two teams remain. The 2020 NBA Finals are here.
How about this crowd in game one of the NBA Finals? There are 17 NBA champions in the virtual fan spots here tonight.
We're here, baby. Do what we do, man. Come on, do what we do.
Dragic injured his left foot.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's got a sprained left ankle. Bam has got a bad left shoulder.
Rondo dribbles into the paint. Bounce pass to a cutting LeBron who dunks.
Wow, what a dunk.
The Los Angeles Lakers take game one of these NBA Finals. A dominant victory led by their two stars.
Couple men down. Other guys are going to have to step up in a big way. I'm really, really excited to see how we bounce back.
Rondo's got it. He brings it quickly into the front court. Alley-oop to AD.
Oh, what a pass! And Davis lays it up and in.
No good.
Oh, Anthony Davis does it again. What a dazzling display of shot making.
This guy is just putting on a show.
Udonis Haslem, the 40-year-old in his 17th year. He of three Miami Heat rings.
Took over the huddle.
Off the dribble. Goes right at LeBron James. Draws the foul and puts it in. Rondo inside to James. James scoops it up and in. 33 for LeBron James.
The Miami Heat gave him a test, but the Los Angeles Lakers going to take a 2-0 lead.
It's not over. You know, we're just down 0-2. We got to do something special. We're capable of it. You know, I wouldn't want to be in the trenches with any other guys except for the ones that we have.
It's game three of the NBA Finals and another test for the Miami Heat to prove their resilience.
You are incredibly optimistic for someone who is down 2-0.
We get one tonight, we might be up to something.
So now the Lakers are a little sloppy early. The steal down the other end, they throw it ahead to Butler, and Butler throws it down. Miami Heat trying to pull off one of the more surprising results in a finals game in a long time. Crowder throws it ahead to Tyler Hero, reverse layup.
Now it's Butler driving, Butler hanging, Butler hitting a 40-point game three. Triple-double for Jimmy Butler.
What an inspiring victory for the Miami Heat.
I don't care about a triple. I don't care about none of that. I really don't. I want to win. We did that. I think we realized that we belong.
Game four is so crucial. Miami has some momentum. Bam is coming back.
If you're the Lakers, you want that 3-1 lead.
Mambo, all three, 1, 2, 3. Every loose ball.
Back out Robinson, stolen by James.
LeBron one-on-one with Tyler Hero.
James drives, goes inside and throws it down.
Went right through everybody and dunks it.
35, you said?
LeBron went through four guys.
Wow.
Trust each other, guys. Okay? You are going to have to fight.
Under a minute remaining, Lakers by six. Davis for three. Bang! Anthony Davis from downtown. The Lakers bounce back after that disappointing loss in game three and are back in control of these NBA Finals.
The Miami Heat are on the brink of elimination.
Crowder for three. Crowder misses. Rebound and getting it to go, Jimmy Butler.
James drives, free throw line, gets deep, gets it up, it's good, and he's fouled.
But LeBron now has 40.
James and Butler throwing haymakers at each other.
Jimmy Butler with a triple-double, 27 points, 11 rebounds, and assists.
Fatigue is real right now.
Butler drives, falling away. The Heat take every punch and refuse to surrender. There'll be a game six.
We're playing for number 17.
And Game 6 of the NBA Finals is underway.
Here come the Lakers on a 3-on-3. LeBron down the middle, behind his back. Spin to the rim, left-hand layup, good.
Great start, great charge.
Here comes Goran Dragic, folks. Injured in Game 1.
Dragic in running layup, and the Dragon scores with a very familiar turn the corner and lay it up and in with the left hand.
Every catch, every pass is contested. The Lakers look formidable tonight.
Dominant defensively. Absolutely dominant.
James goes inside, the flush and the foul.
Hell of a job.
Thank you.
All the work, all the sweat, all the practices, all the travel. And in this case, all this time in the bubble ends up with what they all set out for as their number one and only goal. And that's it. It's over. This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, in for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols. And shout out to our Jump team for putting that montage together for all six games of the NBA Finals. Today, I'm joined by NBA champion Kendrick Perkins and our NBA insider, Brian Windhorst. Coming up, ESPN's Woj and Tim McMahon are reporting that Ty Lue is gaining momentum as a candidate for the Rockets head coaching job. We'll break that down later in the show with another edition of Where in the World is Windy? But first, after a successful bubble with zero positive tests, the Lakers were crowned NBA champs to cap a season that spanned nearly one full year due to the pandemic. Perk, let's start with you here. How will you remember the 2020 NBA season?
How can we forget the 2020 season with all that's going on, that's all that went on? You talk about going down to a hot spot during a pandemic and having zero cases. You talk about guys going down there and representing for us in social justice, coming together as a whole. We had a boycott for a couple games, and guys really put their foot down and held their owners' feet to the fire. We're talking about, in my opinion, one of the hardest championships in NBA history. Guys playing without fans, guys removed away from their families in an isolated area, guys having multiple 50-point nights. I mean, it was just something beautiful to watch as far as the NBA. Job well done by Adam Silver, and no one will ever forget the 2020 NBA bubble. That's how I look at it. It was just phenomenal. They pulled it off. They got some things accomplished while being down there for us outside of the court. And here we are. We crowned the Los Angeles Lakers, and LeBron James took home his fourth title, third finals MVP. So it's so much that it's not just one thing, George. It's a lot of things that makes up this 2020 season.
Well, I'll remember this season through Kendrick Perkins' Twitter account, because that was one of the most interesting things we've had over the last 12 months. But in all seriousness, George, carrying on, I could say, this is a blue and this is a, you know, this is a purple and gold season to me. I remember opening night against the Clippers. I remember Christmas Day against the Clippers. Unfortunately, the sight of those flowers lining Chick Hearn Boulevard after Kobe's terrible, tragic death, piled up outside the Staples Center, piled up all around our facilities in Los Angeles. And then, of course, the playoff run, where the Lakers were the story from the start, where they almost walked away at one point. And then, of course, this last couple of weeks where they play the top of their game. LeBron James and Anthony Davis were at the top of their game. Their role players were at the top of their game. Frank Vogel made great decisions. This was a Lakers season. It was Lakers 2020, and it's only fitting that they'll have rings on that say 2020 forever.
Yeah, no question about it. I think you guys made some excellent points from the league and Adam Silver and everything that they were able to accomplish and make sure everything got done the way it needed to get done, from the social justice causes to obviously COVID. But to your point, Brian, this on the floor was about the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think about it, it's about a coronation of LeBron James, his continued excellence at this age, and really choosing the right teammate in Anthony Davis, a guy who I think really embodies all of the characteristics of some of LeBron's great teammates. And it's why he's such a perfect fit. But also this aspect of it. people elevated their games in the bubble. Jimmy Butler, who we saw obviously in that great montage, and the Heat players, they exceeded expectations. Coach Eric Spoelstra obviously continues to show why he may be the best coach in the league. And a team like Denver, Jamal Murray elevated himself. Jokic, what is the future of Michael Porter Jr., right? And how he helps elevate that team. I think there are a lot of great things you can take away off the court and certainly on the court. But coming up next. WBO and WBA lightweight champion Vasily Lomachenko takes on IBF champ Teofimo Lopez Saturday night in the 12-round main event in Las Vegas.
I got you, but
our coverage begins at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Welcome back to The Jump. Now that the finals are over, it's time to check in on the coaching carousel in the NBA. There are currently 5 head coaching vacancies: the Clippers, the Pacers, the Rockets, the Thunder, and the Pelicans. So let's get caught up on the latest with another installment of our favorite game, Where in the World is Windy? Brian Windhorst, where the heck are you at?
Mission Control, Houston, Texas. Got down here just during the break. Got great speed. A big week right now for the Rockets. They are holding interviews in person. We had Ty Lue interview earlier this week. It has been reported that Jeff Van Gundy will also interview this week now that he's out of the bubble doing work for ESPN and ABC in Orlando. And when you talk to folks around the league, while there are other candidates here, people also believe that Kenny Atkinson is a candidate. Now, Kenny Atkinson and Jeff Van Gundy have worked for Daryl Morey, the general manager, as coaches for Rockets before. So keep an eye on that, whether familiarity plays out an issue if Ty Lue goes elsewhere.
Perk, let me ask you, of those three candidates there, Atkinson, Lue, and Jeff Van Gundy, right? All coaches who have accomplished things at different levels. Jeff coached a Knicks team to the finals. Ty Lue won a championship with LeBron. Kenny Atkinson, a young coach, but certainly has had some success as a young coach. But familiarity, as Brian said, with the organization. Who's the best fit for that particular roster, that particular owner, and that particular general manager?
Well, you know, I love Jeff Van Gundy, and I love Kenny Atkinson. But when you look at the Rockets, their window is about 2 to 3 years. No way that they're trading James Harden, and there's no way that they're trading Russell Westbrook. So here it is. You have two former MVPs that are still in their prime, and you need a guy that's going to come in there that they're going to respect and also be able to relate to, and that's Ty Lue. When you look at Ty Lue's resume and look at the history, not only of the guys that he's coached and LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love, but when you go back and look at the guys that he played with, Michael Jordan, Tracy McGrady, Kobe, Shaq, he was coached under Phil Jackson, under Doc Rivers. One thing about Ty Lue is that he knows how to micromanage egos, and that's what the Rockets need. They need somebody that's going to go in there and treat Russ like the superstar he is so that you could get the best version of Russell Westbrook while also treating James Harden the same way and still getting that leading score in the league to produce at a high level, especially in the playoffs. So the guy that's for the job, that's the right fit, the perfect marriage, in my opinion, is Ty Lue. He's a stud. His resume speaks for itself. He should have been on somebody's roster a long time ago as a head coach, but I think this is the perfect fit. It's not La La Land, but Houston is a pretty good place to live in.
And as you know, Perk, before we move on to Brian again, look, Ty Lue is not afraid to get in guys' faces, right? Like, he certainly did that with the Stars when you were in Cleveland. He wasn't afraid of any of that.
No, not at all. And you know, he challenged Braun. Braun would say that to this day. He challenged Braun. It wasn't, you know, I get tired of the narrative of people always saying, oh, the only reason he won is because he had LeBron James and that was LeBron James' team. But if you're not in that locker room, then you can't really say anything because I was there for 2 years. I witnessed T. Lou control practice. I witnessed him control the film room. So he is a guy that knows how to balance the two. He gets in his face, but he also lets you be able to have a voice. And I think that's what they need, the Rockets need.
All right, so where in the world is Windy? Brian, where are you now?
I'm at the Honey Center, which usually has a different connotation, George, but that is the name of the LA Clippers practice facility. And here I am outside watching for any candidates to go in or out. The Clippers have been active. They have interviewed Tyronn Lue in person. They have interviewed Mike Brown in person. They have interviewed Darvin Ham in person. Mike Brown and Darvin Ham, two of the more highly profile assistants out there in the league. And there is an expectation that Jeff Van Gundy could also interview with the Clippers in the coming days. Ty Lue, as Perk has just talked about, for many reasons, including familiarity with these players, is believed to be the leading candidate here. But the Clippers are being thorough in this process. They're also keeping their cards close to the vest. There's not a lot of information leaking out right now, but people do believe Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy, the leading candidates for this job.
Perk, let me ask you about that. With Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy being the leading candidates there, as Brian reported in Where in the World is Windy, I think that if you're going to let go of Doc Rivers, don't you have to go a different direction there? Wouldn't it feel weird if they went with one of his lead assistant, basically? How do you feel about this particular job and the candidates?
Well, it's kind of strange. I mean, you know, you would think that, you know, they will go in a different directions, but to me, this didn't seem like it came from the top. This seemed like this had a lot of player involvement as far as with Doc Rivers being fired and that guys want T. Lue to be the coach. But this goes to a testimony of T. Lue loyalty to Doc Rivers. Not saying that he won't take the Clippers job, but it's still in his eyes, he's going to search the market and see what else is out there because, you know, he is a loyal guy to Doc, and I know Doc probably didn't gave him his blessings to take the job, but it's still, T. Lue is that type of guy where he want to see what else is out there. And then I wouldn't be surprised if the Houston Rockets deal don't work out, he will take the Clippers job. But it just, you know, it's kind of crazy. I think the Clippers really dropped the ball on letting Doc Rivers go without having a solidified backup plan. So that's just my opinion about them. And, you know, hey, that's why they're in the mess that they is in today.
Brian, let me ask you about that situation, right? Would it be strange if an assistant took over in this spot, someone who was that close to Doc, because they wanted to clearly go in a different direction, it seemed like. And, of course, what is Sam Cassell's role in this? Will he be interviewed? Is he part of the process?
And you know what?
Well,
that's crazy to ask.
Sorry, Perk, that was for Windy.
I don't think the Clippers had a total plan here because I don't think they were expecting to lose in the second round and firing Doc Rivers. I will say that it'll be interesting to see where the Doc Rivers-Ty Lue relationship is at the other end of this because especially if Ty Lue replaces Doc, that can be prickly, I can tell you. And then Ty Lue was extremely interested in the Philadelphia 76ers coaching job that Doc Rivers sort of swooped in and took. And that just makes it complicated. And I do think Sam Cassell is on the list, but I think in this hire, and because I think Darvin Ham, who I mentioned earlier, is an excellent coach. You saw what Taylor Jenkins was able to do when he went to Memphis coming off that Milwaukee staff last season. Darvin Ham has got that reputation out there in the league, the next sort of next big assistant to get a job. But it's a big ask to ask someone to take over the pressure who's never been a head coach before. And I think that puts Cassell and anybody who comes into this job fresh a little bit difficult. That's why, again, why Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy are at the top of the list right now.
Perk, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sam Cassell is deserving of a job, and I think he will fit right in with the Clippers. A lot of the guys on the rosters love Sam Cassell. They could relate to him. They look up to him. And I think he's deserving of a job. And if it's not the Clippers, I think somewhere else. You know, I think a job like the Oklahoma City Thunder would be a perfect fit for Sam. But I tell you one thing, George. The Clippers, they have to be very, very careful on who they hire because, you know, their team is championship or bust. Like, let's cut out all the nonsense. They're championship or bust. So whatever coach that they do hire, they got to make sure that it's the right coach that's going to lead them to a championship because, you know, those guys, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Lou Will, all those guys are not getting younger. They're getting older. They're 30-plus, so they have to be very careful in who they hire at their position.
Well, and to that point, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard also can opt out of their deals after next season, too, so something to keep an eye on in regards to that. All right, where in the world is Windy? Brian, where are you now?
Back on Bourbon Street here in New Orleans. This, to me, is the most fascinating job out there with Zion Williamson. And the fact that, yes, here we go again, Ty Lue is at the top of their list. Now, David Griffin, the general manager, and Ty Lue won a title together in Cleveland. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why Ty Lue and Zion Williamson would be an interesting match. But it's not clear where Ty Lue is prioritizing this job right now. As I mentioned, he interviewed with Philadelphia, he interviewed with Houston, he interviewed with the Clippers in person. To my knowledge, an interview in person has not happened in New Orleans yet, which leaves them sort of waiting to see what Ty Lue does. Two other names to watch here. One, an assistant coach with the Dallas Mavericks, Jamal Mosley, who has a lot of high regards in the league and is probably going to get a job in the short-term future. He is on the list. And also, sort of sneaky, and a guy who I believe will get an in-person interview soon, Stan Van Gundy is on the list. J.J. Redick is on this roster, who Stan coached in Orlando. Now, I don't know where he ranks on the list, but I do know Stan Van Gundy is on the Pelicans' list. We'll see how things develop in New Orleans as they wait on Ty Lue.
Wow. Well, let me follow up with that, Brian, because you did mention an assistant. You mentioned some established coaches there. Do we know that what the timeline is for New Orleans and what their expectations are and how that may play a factor here?
Well, they are doing in-person interviews this week, but I have to just be honest with you. I mean, they're waiting on Ty Lue. You know, for them to be able to hire Tyronn Lue, a guy who Houston, L.A., you know, even Brooklyn, potentially, he was on their list before they settled on Steve Nash, Philadelphia, to be able to hire a championship coach who has excellent relationships with veteran players and has shown he can work with young guys, that would be a home run hire for them. And frankly, they're just going to have to wait because they're not in pole position here. But David Griffin has known for a long time that Ty Lue may be a little bit of a long shot, and they have done their ground game. They have done a bunch of other interviews with other guys out there. One other name I'll throw out there, Will Weaver, who you may not have heard of. He was coaching last year in Australia, but has been a coach in the G League, a highly regarded coach, also is potentially a candidate in Oklahoma City. That's a name that they've looked at who either as a top lead assistant or as a head coach. So David Griffin, he's looked at Darvin Ham. He's looked at David Vanterpool. There's a lot of guys that they've looked at, but they're going to have to wait for Ty Lue to go through their full process.
Wow, that's going to be an interesting search for sure. All right, that was fun. Brian is now heading back to the Cobra Dome during this quick break. But coming up next, NBA champion Chris Bosh stops by to put a bow on Miami's incredible finals run this season. And we'll discuss just how bright the future is for the Heat. And we'll talk some Lakers with him soon, too. Stick around.
Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Chris Bosh, you got to feel like the luckiest big man in the world right now.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I got LeBron on my left, and I have D-Wade on my right.
Bosh flies in and slams it home. Oh, what a play by Bosh. Oh, yes, he did it. He did it. Block by Bosh. A mighty kaboom.
There's no replacing a player like Chris Bosh.
What a play by a shot by Chris Bosh.
That's right.
Ah! Oh, big shot by Bosh. Got it. Miami wins. Let the coronation begin.
They're ready to celebrate here in Miami.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols with Brian Windhorst and Kendrick Perkins. And now we welcome in two-time NBA champion, 11-time All-Star, Chris Bosh. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Oh, man, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
We gave you that great intro and make sure we respect the man who won two titles down there in Miami, of course. And speaking of Miami, the fifth-seeded Miami Heat, Chris, had an incredible postseason run. They were the lowest-seeded team to make the finals in over 20 years, despite coming up short against your former teammate, LeBron James. So, Chris, I'll ask you this. How proud are you of what the Heat accomplished this particular season?
Oh, I mean, you know, really proud. You can't even put it in the words, really. Nobody expected them to achieve and had the season that they had. They're always having the championship mind frame, no matter who's in the gym. They're always coming at the work, day in and day out, always teaching that belief system. And, of course, working hard and working together. And it's good to see those things pay off. And, you know, we always hear guys talk about the confidence and say how they're a championship organization. I think year after year, the Heat prove it. Pat Riley, he's always going to have that strong message of team first basketball, family first organization, and then it trickles down from there. And, you know, Spo just keeps better, getting better and better. And, you know, they draft well. Jimmy Butler had an incredible run in the bubble. And I know that they'll be able to kind of build from here and see where it goes.
Well, CB, look, I'm happy that you're on, man. My brother from Texas, I know we had our battles in high school, had our battles in the finals, but I got a problem. Because you said nobody expected the Miami Heat to be where they were this year. And me and George were two people that had them coming out of the East. When you look at them, we both was telling everybody about them goons from Dade County. You didn't hear us preaching about that? We just said that they wasn't going to win in the finals, but we definitely had them beating Milwaukee and the Boston
Celtics.
Hey, man,
home school,
but
bro.
To that point. All right, but to that
point, it's been super busy, man. You know, they call me Principal Bosch around here, so it gets super busy with homework. But you know, I hate I missed it, bro. But I appreciate that, man. Thanks for sticking up for the guys, man.
You have to. I mean, when you look at this Miami Heat culture, I think Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in today's game. I look at Jimmy Butler; he took a leap forward. We always knew he was a star. But the way that he performed in the finals, we finally could put that super behind the star because he was a superstar in those finals. And then on the verge with Tyler Hero and Bam out of the Bayou, I think the sky's the limit. I'm looking at this Heat team, and I believe them when they say they're going to run it back and they have dreams on coming and they have plans on coming out of the East and winning the championship. You could tell during Eric Spoelstra's post-game interview after they lost, he was in tears. They didn't want to just get to the finals. They really believed that they should have won the championship. And I'm looking at this Heat team, and I'm like, they're only one piece away, maybe one piece. I don't know how the series would have turned out if Goran Dragic would have played, but I'm looking at their core. I'm looking at their culture. They're well-coached. Jimmy Butler, Bam, Goran Dragic, Tyler Hero, and I see them coming back out of the East next year.
Look, I'm going to side a little bit here with Principal Bosch.
I would definitely agree with you.
While you were right, Perk.
I just like the where they sit. And really, it's just about coming to compete every day, about coming to be professional every day. The work that you put in every day to get to where you want to go. You know, first you have to visualize things. And, I mean, to be quite frank, it's all about championships. You see Eric Spoelstra being emotional after the post game. That's because he worked his tail off, you know, preparing. You want it. You care so much. And to get all the way there and come up short, I mean, it hurts every time. I don't care who you are. I don't care how tough you are. If you get there with a group of guys and you get to the championship, you expect to win. So, you know, just really with that mentality, having that attitude, but being realistic about it and going and getting the players that match, you know, the intensity that you need to bring, getting those confident players like Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and through the draft, you know, to be able to build around. And I got a shout out to my guy, Bam. He had a phenomenal season and playoffs. And, you know, just to see a fellow big carry on that Miami Heat tradition of great bigs. You know, he's got a very bright future, like you were saying, Big Perk. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, seeing how they can continue to build, knowing that they can get better, I think that's very exciting for the years to come.
Chris, you mentioned about building. 10 years ago, you were a free agent, and at that time, you left the Toronto Raptors to join the Miami Heat via sign and trade with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, and that whole front office still basically intact. They've added one of your teammates, Shane Battier, basically. Many people think Miami will be a free agent destination, especially in the offseason of 2021 when guys like Giannis could be available, Kawhi, Paul George, Victor Oladipo. It goes on and on and on. Do you see the Heat as a desirable free agent destination?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If I were a free agent, that's where I would try to go. you know, it's not only the city. We could talk about how great the city of Miami is, which is great. Great community, full of good people and, you know, other things that you might like to do if you really like the nightlife. But more importantly, it's the organization. Like I said before, it's all about championships. So you're not going down there just to get some sun. You know, it's a perk, but you're coming there to work. You're coming there to, you know, work with great teammates, learn about teamwork, and be professional and believe and make it happen. So, you know, with that said, I think it will always be a free agent destination, but it's a little more attractive when you have cap flexibility like they're going to have in the next couple of years. So we'll really see what happens as, you know, the free agent pool gets closer. I think they'll be able to make some moves, continue to draft well, and continue to put a strong team together, because that's what it's about. You just need a good team to have a shot.
Yeah, there hasn't been a free agent, a big free agent in the last 25 years that Pat Riley hasn't wanted to get. So, of course, they're going to go after those guys. But a big thing to watch is what happens with Bam Adebayo. Now, Bam has the option of signing a huge extension this offseason. He is going to be a max player. Or he can do what numerous players have done over the last 5-6 years and wait and push it back. And if he waits and push it back to sign the following year, then it gives the Heat so much more cap flexibility. And it's interesting to point out that Bam and Giannis Antetokounmpo have the same agent. Doesn't mean they'll make the same choices, but they have the same agent. If neither of them sign extensions this offseason, which they will both be presented with, watch out for the Miami Heat, because it's an indication of what the possibility is.
Right, and I get what you're saying, Wendy, and I think Miami is an attractive place to play. You just look at their culture. You look at Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, and what they developed down there, and they are all about championships, let alone you could get down there and wiggle your toes in the sand a little bit when you need some daylight, right? But when I look at Bam, to me, he's one of the top three bigs in the league, right behind Anthony Davis and Jokic, what he's able to bring to the basketball court. And if I'm Bam, this is his first big deal that he's about to sign. It's kind of hard for him to push or pass on it this offseason because my grandpa always used to tell me, don't pass up some for show trying to get some more. And the thing is that on your big deal, you want to have that security blanket. You want to secure your future, and I get it, but you know, and I don't mean to bring this up like in this instance, but it is what it is. You know, you don't want to have a Dak Prescott situation where, you know, he's, you know, negotiating a contract and God forbid you get injured. So when you have that money on the table, in my opinion, I always tell the young guys, go get your lettuce.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens here moving forward over the next year or so. But coming up, Chris is going to stick around. We're going to talk some Lakers with him. Magic Johnson is already predicting a repeat for LeBron and AD. We'll see who agrees with him next. Here are the Jump. Welcome back to The Jump. George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols here with Chris Bosch, Kendrick Perkins, and Brian Windhorst. Five-time Lakers champion Magic Johnson was on First Take yesterday, and let's just say he's confident in next year's team. Take a listen.
Well, what's on my mind is the fact that LeBron James proved again why he is the greatest basketball player in the world. He proved again why he should have been named the most valuable player of the NBA. And then second, Anthony Davis, with the regular season that he put together, with the playoff run that he had during this incredible playoff bubble season, he proved that he was the second best player in the NBA this season. So watch out next season. I'm predicting right here, right now, the Lakers going to repeat.
Chris, we'll start with you. Is this just the beginning for LeBron, AD, and the Lakers?
I think so. I mean, you know, the intent is to make a run at multiple championships. Of course, they still have to re-sign Anthony Davis with free agency coming up for him. But I think that was always the thing with LeBron. He went there to win multiple championships. For one, you don't go to Los Angeles just to play a season and finish. You know, you better get some hardware and bring it back home. There's always pressure with that, but that's, you know, what they've established over their great tenure as an organization. And Magic's right. I mean, they're always going to have, if you have two of the top five players or top two players in the league, you're always going to have a chance. So, I mean, you know, led by, you know, Rob Pelinka in the boardroom, I mean, they're always going to be aggressive. They're always going to be making moves, and they're there to win. So we see how good they can be. They're going to have to get better in order to repeat. So we'll pay attention to what they do in the offseason.
Yeah, and look, but listen, we all know what LeBron James is going to do. We all witnessed what he's done over the last 17 years for us being the greatest player to ever walk the planet Earth. But now you have Anthony Davis, who is battle-tested, who just dominated the postseason. I mean, everybody in front of him was Harris Fried Chicken. And I say Harris Fried Chicken because he's from the Chi-Town. I know he loved that place. But everybody they put in front of Anthony Davis, he demoralized them. And now he's battle tested. And going into next season with the confidence that you're going to give this guy who's already a generational talent, who's already one of one, it's going to be a problem for the entire NBA, in my opinion. And when I'm looking at Anthony Davis, not only do I believe that the Lakers are going to win a championship again next year and repeat, but I strongly believe that Anthony Davis is going to win the MVP next year.
Well, it's not an outrageous thing to say on that one, Perk. I haven't seen a Laker guarantee a repeat so fast since Pat Riley back in the 80s. So I was pretty impressed with Magic going there. I will say this, that I always felt that the Lakers would be better in year two than in year one. I mean, this was certainly the case with Chris Bosh when they were there with the Heat. They got better in year two. In Cleveland, he won the championship in year two. And I sort of look at this as like year two because the first year was sort of a false start with LeBron's injury. So give them another transaction cycle to add another role player or two. Guys are going to want to play there. I think their team will be better. But I do have to point this out. The Golden State Warriors, in theory, will be back. The Brooklyn Nets will get Durant and Kyrie Irving. In theory, I have no idea what next season is going to look like, but in theory, the field should get a little bit more competitive.
Chris, let me ask you this. What kind of players do you think that they should add? Like, what type of players should they add? Should they add more shooting? Should they add more defense? What do you think they should add?
Well, I mean, they're always going to have a defensive-first mentality with Vogel as the head coach and, you know, of course, the great coaching staff that they have. I think shooting is always going to be an important thing for them. That was one of their perceived weaknesses from this past season and postseason. You can always get better at shooting, but really just picking those pieces that really complement AD and Bron. Of course, with Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee coming up, you know, it makes it a little difficult with the center position, but I'm sure they'll be able to figure some things out with more size and more shooting and more defense and really just continuing to surround AD and LeBron. I mean, hey, look, at the end of the day, they're great players, so it's a great problem to have, and you'll be able to probably get somebody, and they'll tremendously get better as soon as they show up to camp.
Speaking of great players and great people, Chris Bosh, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care, Chris. All right, coming up next. There we go. The kids got in there. There we go. We love it.
Appreciate it, guys.
Take care. All right, coming up next, Kristaps Porzingis just had another knee surgery.
Principal Bosch.
How concerned should Mavs fans be about what's coming up here and what's happening with Kristaps? We'll get into that next here on The Jump.
The Jump is presented by the new XPS 13. Every little thing is everything.
This week, number 10, the Florida Gators will be hosting LSU, or as Perk would call them, the boys from out of the bayou. They'll be at the Swamp. Catch them Saturday 4 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Happy 43rd birthday to our buddy and colleague Paul Pierce. Perk, as his former teammate, you got a good Paul story for us?
Oh, George, I have so many, but look, let me give you one. I remember my second year in the league, Paul was trying to, we had a lot of young guys on the rosters, and Paul was trying to figure out who had heart. And he was like, one day after practice, it was snowing like crazy in Boston, and he was like, I want to see who got heart. I got $1,500 on you, Big Perk, if you want it, to go outside and give me 100 push-ups in the snow in your tights. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, no problem. I went and knocked out the 100, came back, he had the 1,500 cash waiting on me right by my locker, and he was like, you know what, you gonna be here. I like your style.
That's awesome.
Do you know how much money that is in inflation-adjusted dollars? That's big money, Perk, congrats.
That is pretty good stuff, there's no doubt. And dealing with that cold up in the Northeast. Oh, man. Anyway, one team that's on the rise who's looking to challenge the Lakers, we spent a lot of time talking about the Lakers in the last segment, is the Dallas Mavericks. However, the health of one of their stars is again in question. Kristaps Porzingis had surgery to repair a meniscus tear in his right knee. Sources told ESPN's Tim McMahon the Mavs are optimistic that they'll have Porzingis back for training camp, although the start date is uncertain due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So, Brian, how concerned should Mavs fans be about Kristaps Porzingis?
Of course they should be concerned, George, because this is two knee operations that he's had. And, you know, some guys get meniscus injuries, get surgery, and then they are fine. And then they never show any setback in their career. Other guys, it creates problems down the line. And considering he's a big man, it's worrisome. And look, we talked a few minutes ago about how the Miami Heat are a team that a lot of people look at as trying to get Giannis Antetokounmpo out of Milwaukee. Well, I'm telling you here, the Dallas Mavericks, to me, are going to be really at the front of that line. And the big factor is that, you know, any free agent, whether it's Giannis or anybody else, they want to have a third star. So Porzingis has to prove that he can be healthy to be that third star.
Wendy, did you just drop a bomb on us in here? Did you just say Giannis? Did you say Dallas were the front runners for Giannis? We better watch out.
You Wendy better watch out. I'm not saying they're the front runners. You better
classic.
Watch out.
But look, I wish KP just get healthy. When you look at what he was starting to do with the Dallas Mavericks, he was starting to get back to the KP that we've been waiting on. He was dominating the bubble, averaged close to 30 points a game. I thought he was a problem during that first series against the Clippers. And you just hate it. And you wish him well and hope that he could bounce back. Because like you said, Wendy, a big man having these knee surgeries is not good. He's 7'2". He rely on his athleticism, and I think that, you know, the Dallas Mavericks got to make sure that they do the right thing in getting this guy healthy because we want to see him play for a long period of time.
All right, we only have about 30 seconds left here. Brian, what do you think Dallas should add beyond the health of Kristaps Porzingis?
Well, they got to be careful because they want to keep their books clear for 2021 when they're going to chase Giannis. So they got to worry about Tim Hardaway because he's got a player option. But I wouldn't expect them to add any major free agents. They're going to wait.
Okay, fair enough. Perk, real quick, you got anything they should look at to add to their roster?
You know, hey, I'm with Wendy. If you could wait and just stay intact with what you got and wait in the offseason of 2021 and hopefully you could land Giannis, I would stand put.
All right, fair enough. Thanks to Perk, thanks to Brian and Chris Bosh for joining us today. Jump back tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. Course money, beat the charge money, fast money.